And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba in the Bloom, episode 203. Hope you guys have been doing well in the ice storm of the Midwest, having some fun in that because it's been nice and warm out west. But let's talk second baseman tonight, and that'll be fun. We've got you first base earlier this week, catchers last week, as we go position by position in the old-fashioned way around baseball. And before we get into the second base stuff, let's do some housekeeping here. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing great, man. As we continue our traditional path around the horn with our position preview. Second base, I actually think second base gets crapped on a lot. I think there's some interesting intricacies at the position this year. So excited to talk through it tonight with you, my friend, as always. How are you doing?
I am doing well over here. Living the dream. Holidays are a figment of our imagination now, which is nice because that was a whirlwind. You're finally back in the mode for like the full week, which is good.
First full work week. I had not that I was counting, my little one was counting, but he had 16 days off of school, and he's back at school now, and he's happy. We're all a little less stressed out collectively.
I saw you drop 16 days in the Discord. I was just like, oh my goodness. Yeah, like that's asking a lot there, folks. That's a lot. But yeah, pretty wild stuff indeed. But before we get into your second base preview, just a reminder to you guys, if you missed or somehow listened to this before the first base episode or whatnot, last week on our resolution show, we announced the listener leagues and how you can get into the listener leagues, being a paid Patreon member, free Patreon member, whichever path you decide. One guarantees you a spot, one puts you on the list type situation. We can fill you in on all those details if you need them, or just go back and listen. And I won't repeat them every show. I will like once a week to keep you posted on that. But what I do want to remind you on, because this is pretty new, is the people at Baseball HQ, who obviously we are fans of here. Ryan's basically one of the chief editors. He is one of the chief editors for the Forecaster. I have been doing contact for a couple of years, so it's been pretty cool in that regard. And we promote them, obviously, because we love the product as it is. And they reached out to us, and we talked about this on Tuesday's show, as they're going to basically donate prizes / sponsor us for a little bit to help you guys with stuff. And they're going to donate prizes for the listener leagues, which is pretty darn awesome. So we'll start with the simple stuff. And there's still monetary prizes for each league. Don't get that twisted. It's a $50 entry. You still get your monetary prizes in those leagues. But on top of that, for your individual leagues right now, second place gets the 2026. That can't be right. It's got to be 2025.
2026. Next year.
Okay, I'm an idiot. Sorry. All right. 2020. Yeah, that would make sense because you have to win the league first. God,
Hey, sometimes I forget the day of the week. That's okay because Bubba forgets the year. So we're
good. It's been a long week. 2026 Baseball HQ Draft Prep Subscription, which is pretty cool. It's full site access from mid-January through April. It gives you all the articles, all the projections, anything you need for draft season, essentially. I'll let Ryan add on to this if there's more information that I'm missing out. League winners for each individual league, besides winning your monetary prize for the league, you get a 2026 full year subscription to Baseball HQ, which is pretty darn awesome, obviously. And these are donated by the people of Baseball HQ. It gets better, though. The overall winner, because there is an overall component, there is no cash for the overall. We're not the OCs of the world. We're just having fun here. The overall winner gets free registration to First Pitch Arizona 2025. Travel and lodging is not included. Don't try to go that far. But you get registration to the conference, which is pretty, pretty nice. So, Ryan, if you'd like to add on to that, just a reminder to everybody what we talked about on Tuesday evening.
No, just stoked to partner up with my other employer, I guess, Baseball HQ, and thank you to Ray and Brent for their support in doing this. So it means a lot to us, and I think some pretty cool prizes, like you said, Bubba, on top of the kind of your normal NFBC league winnings or whatever that you would get through NFBC. So I'm super stoked to partner with HQ and grateful that they are giving us, adding on these prizes. So yeah, again, league second place, a draft prep sub for next year, a league winner, a full year subscription to HQ for next year, and then overall winner, first pitch, Arizona. You get to hang out with us if you win the overall. Overall is going to be a little bit tougher to win this year, man. Yeah. We are at least tracking, it looks like, six, if not more, leagues. And last year we had only four leagues in year one of doing these listener leagues. So it'll be a little bit tougher, but someone's going to get that grand prize. It's going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah, you guys are coming out in bunches. You guys obviously listen to the January 1st resolution show. Signups have been going early and often over at the Patreon. Reminder, those that are paid members have mentioned it to us in the Discord. We have you on the list. If you're a free subscriber and you want to be on the waiting list, still contact us so we can put you on there. Just because you signed up on Patreon, we don't know that you're in. We're assuming if you're on, you are, but let us know, because eventually in the next couple of weeks, we'll send out like a proper do these days work for you, so on and so forth. So we need to make sure you're on that list. So just contact us. Let us know. We'll go from there. All right. Housekeeping in the books for now. Let's talk second base, my friend. This is going to be a doozy. Second base position that I half agree is not as bad as people say. It just gets rough real late if you seem to mess around, and we'll get into that obviously. But first off, what are we looking at here? And I know you like this position more than I do.
I do. Maybe I'm the second base. I don't want to say whisper, because that's I'm just the second place. I'm definitely the second place guy, but the second base just as well. Your gut. Yeah, that's right.
You're the second base gut.
Yeah, rather catcher gut is better, but that's all right. Second base is just fascinating to me this year. So what we've got, I've pulled up for the YouTube crowd. I've pulled up our normal, right, ADP top 30 at the position for December, at least the last 10 drafts in draft and hold on the NFBC. So we've got our that ordered by ADP, and then steamer projections that are available on Fangraphs, and the color-coded so we can see where batting average, home runs, and stolen bases are. So again, just really kind of, I think, shows at a quick snapshot at a macro level of the position. What I see is, there's really not a elite tier. Ketel Marte is the only second baseman being drafted in the top 50 right now of drafts. You've got a ton of speed kind of in the middle tier, starting with like a Bryce Terang around 140 picks through like Mikel Garcia, Zach Gelof through 220. But there's not much power there. So this is a spot, if you're going to go in that middle part of second base, where you can load up on speed, but it's going to cost you in power. And then what I see too, and we'll talk about this as we get further on down the pool, Bubba, is it completely falls off, I think, after around like pick 200, similar to what we talked about, I think, with catchers. So it's interesting in that it falls off like that, but unlike other positions at second base, there really isn't that elite tier. So we'll see as this may change. I always kind of sometimes change my opinions as we go through each position kind of player by player. But right now, in general, I am looking to shop in that like pick 140 to 200 tier, getting a speedster with decent batting average, even though it's going to cost me cost me in power. There's a lot of those types of guys that I kind of like in that group. So we'll see. That may change by the end of the show, but that's what I'm seeing right now. There's really no power at this position. No one's projected for over 27 home runs. Ketel Marte is your leader at 27 by Steamer, which I thought was interesting as well.
So I guess we kind of are on a similar page, right? I think there's enough to attack at a certain point, but the fall off is drastic, and that terrifies me. Like, then again, we've done enough drafts, or at least I have done enough drafts now, where I'm and Ryan isn't in a second draft, folks. So it's happening. So I'm finding avenues to liking more, I guess. But we'll see where that goes. All right, you mentioned it, and for those again unfamiliar with our structure, we talk ADP 1 through 10. Then we each pick two targets from 11 through 20 and two targets 21 and beyond. Have some discussions on those. Hit a good amount of the player pool. Let's put it that way. All right. The number one second baseman off the board as of the last, 10 DCs from 1220 to 1-6 on the ADP meter. Ketel Marte, as you mentioned, ADP of 30. So he's on the 2-3 turn right now. Coming off a big boy season for Ketel Marte. 36 homers, 93 runs, 95 RBIs, 292 average. It's a tough one. The highest average since 2021, 36 home runs, career high, 93 runs. Well, he scored 94 the year before. Before that, though, 2019, 94 RBIs the most since 2019. Yeah. Massive season, Ryan. I just have a tough time clicking that button.
So, yeah, like the common theme of what you just said to introduce Ketel Marte was career high this, highest batting average since this, massive breakout this, and that's typically not when you want to draft that player the following year. And this is always a conundrum with someone like Ketel Marte because, A, like on the one hand, everything that Ketel Marte did last year pretty much was supported by the skills. If I'm looking at the baseball forecaster, like the expected batting average versus batting average was spot on, 292 to 294. The home runs versus expected home runs, 36 to 32. So like if you just look at last year in a snapshot, this looks entirely repeatable for Ketel Marte. What I would argue is to take kind of the longer view, look at 2021 through 2023 with Marte. And the power track record specifically, like, is just isn't there. And so I struggle with this because everything you see or hear when you read about Ketel Marte in 2024 is all supported. But I think just like results can ebb and flow, I think skills can ebb and flow as well. Like, you have a career high barrel rate one year, more than likely, even though that's a raw skill, more than likely that's going to fall back a bit the following season. So Ketel Marte, like the projections are baking in some of that fallback. I just think this is someone who you are buying at an all-time high price, age 31 season, so he's not super young. Great player, great season last year. It's just a little bit too expensive for me when I want to go at other position. When we keep preaching in our other position previews, I want to go early at this position, get that guy, get this guy. Something's got to give. And at second base, that's where I'm going to give. So I'm probably not taking Ketel Marte for those reasons at a top 30 pick.
Yeah, it's just very tricky because you're expecting regression because that's just natural with a season like that. And like you mentioned the barrel rate, let's just say it out loud, 12.3%. The most he's had is, yeah, which is amazing, but that's the most since 2019 again, 9.1%. This is the only double-digit barrel season, which is pretty impressive. 53.3% hard hit rate. It's the best since 2021 at 48%. He's never been a 50% guy. Now, if you want to believe in X stats, I know it's a controversial thing. He still basically performed the way he was expected to, which is great. There's just a lot of factors. He had 50 barrels last year, and he hit 36 home runs. That's a little over our code we're looking for, our home runs per barrel situation. So I just wanted to add a little more to it. It's nothing against Ketel Marte. Lastly, the dude's dealt with back injuries forever. So that's another massive concern. Yeah. Like, hope he does great. I like watching the D-backs play well. I have a lot of Corbin Carroll shares, so I need Marte to play well. But I'm definitely, you know, tepid on the situation also.
Forgot about the back woes. Yeah, it's been a little while since those have crept up. But yeah, only has, at least what I'm looking at, since 2020, doesn't have a 600-plus plate appearance season. It just has it once that he had in 2023. So there's some minor volume concerns as well.
Yeah. Ankle injuries last year. Like, he even just took days off because he was tired at one point, which he admitted. Like, and he pushed it, and he wanted to play. So it's just little things. When you're talking about a top pick, you got a nitpick. And that's kind of what we're doing.
Exactly. Here. Now, just real quick, I know I don't want to spend too much time, but like the upside or the flip side is, and we did put in the forecaster an upside of 45 home runs on Ketel Marte. Ooh. There is a world.
Whoa.
Where he actually improves. I mean, or even just sticks with the gains that he had last year, or even improves upon him. Like in the second half for Ketel Marte, that barrel rate was up to 15%. So this is someone who did get even better as the season went on. So I certainly get it taking Marte, but it's that ultimate for me, regression wins out when you take that longer view.
Most definitely. Second off the board, Ozzie Albies, ADP of 66. Tricky situation to say the least with Albies. Played 99 games last year, 10 homers, 8 steals, hit .251. Had a great 2023. 2022 was injury riddled. Had a great 2021. It's kind of been a theme. So if you are betting, man, you take the op, but we know that's not how things work. I just have so many questions with Albies. I used to be a massive fan of taking him early, but to me, like, he came back early last year, could only hit right-handed because his wrist was still hurting, so he couldn't even hit left-handed at the end of the season. You'd imagine that's better by the start of opening day. I just have so many questions on Ozzie Albies. Like, the talent, he's better than Ketel Marte to me, but can he stay on the field? That's the big question as well.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, that's the, I guess, the downside with Ozzie Albies. He doesn't really do anything well. Like he's kind of a jack of all trades, but master of none type. And he really needs those plate appearances to compile and be like almost kind of like a Marcus Simeon-esque, who we'll talk about in just a little bit. So I don't know. That's the case against Albies. And you do have those two bad seasons in the last four. Like it just that also creeps into my mind at a top 70 pick. That said, Ozzie Albies, I feel like was a top 40 pick. Last season,
he was a first or second rounder. Like he creeped into the first round at one point,
right? And so, if you believed in Ozzie Albies, this is the flip side of this. If you believed in Ozzie Albies last year, like I think of entering last year, I think of 2024 as a lost season for Albies because he had those two pretty brutal injuries. It was the broken toe, broken wrist, and like coming back early, like you said,
those are freak accidents too.
Exactly. So, like, I think. You could make the case that you just ignore 2024 with Ozzie Albies. And then again, if you liked him as a top 30, top 40 pick last year, now he's going as 66. There is a discount there. So I get it. And I think the Atlanta lineup will be much, much better than it was in 2024. So I get all that. But yeah, just the fact that there's no like true plus skill or true elite skill or anything with Albies, just kind of does a lot of things right. I'm probably just waiting. It's interesting to see him and Altuve basically with the same ADP, but I guess we'll talk about Altuve in a second, but I don't know. The year-to-year variance with Albies kind of worries me a little bit.
Yeah, and that's because the variance is weird, but like if I'm going to take a guy early between Marte and Albies, I'll take that 30-pick discount for sure. You mentioned Altuve, same ADP as Albies, which is quite interesting, honestly, because you have this younger guy, 27 years old, but he's coming off the injury. Then you got Altuve, going to be 35, the old buck coming in here. He's been playing in the big since 2011. Just wrap your head around that and playing full time since 2012. That's pretty impressive for Jose Altuve. And last year, 2022, 295 average. He continues to hit for average. The power's been legit. Stolen bases have been there as well. It's like the question is, do you believe he's going to fall off because he's getting old? Do you believe the lineup's not that much worse? I guess they lost one of the best players in baseball in Kyle Tucker, but still a pretty darn good lineup, all things considered. I've been loving the take Altuve if I want to go second base early at these ADPs, but I've heard a lot of people on the opposite side of that. Where do you stand on Jose Altuve?
I think so. The projection we're looking at here on YouTube with Steamer is 268. I would very much take the over on that. Yeah, that seems very low. This is someone Altuve has hit 295 plus in each of the last three seasons. HQ is projecting like 286. So that makes a lot more sense to me. You're right though. It is kind of like that inevitable decline. When is that going to hit? We started to see, especially in the power department for Jose Altuve, like things are starting to unravel for him a little bit in terms of hard contact, especially down the stretch last season. So like, is he truly a 20 home run guy, or does he kind of start going back down to 10 home runs or something like that? Still running quite a bit, still successful enough to keep running. And like you said, the lineup's great. So I think Altuve is fine. I think the age related decline will be more gradual than as opposed to falling off a cliff. Do you take out Altuve or Albies? Who are you going with? They have the exact same ADP.
To me, it's do you want ceiling or you want like a floor? Like especially the batting average. Like I know we talk about it a lot. And you mentioned it with this. Like looking at the projection, I go over on the average. And I could understand under on homers and steals for Altuve. Still very good, like at least 15-15, I think. But Albies has that ceiling, like legit. I wouldn't be shocked if he hits 30 and steals 15 again. It's just where's the batting average sit in that model. So what's your team need? It's early to decide what your team needs at that point. But I'm very comfortable with confidence, a bad word, but Altuve's batting average is pretty big. So I've gone Altuve so far.
You've got Altuve too in our rankings. I've got Albies too. And I don't really feel strong conviction to debate you on that one. It could go either way.
Yeah, and I'm fine. Like I bet the more I draft, I wouldn't be shocked if I take an Altuve share too. I mean, Albies share. I just combined the two. That's great.
They both start with A and AL.
Same ADP. Yeah, it all goes together. All right. The fourth one off the board is a player you like a lot. At least you talk about him a lot. I better pull up our rankings here before I start.
What are you talking about?
Trash. Do I like him? This one? But we're talking Jordan Westberg here, folks. Jordan Westberg coming in with an ADP of 99. Was having a great year. I was all over Team Westberg last year. 18 homers, 6 steals, 264. Then got hurt and pretty much missed the finish of the season. Should be the starting third baseman for Baltimore. Starting second baseman for Baltimore. Very interesting spot there. Your second base, third base last year. That's why I was stuck on that one. What's your thoughts on Jordan Westberg, who, again, I know you are a fan of, and if we look at our rankings, yes, you are higher, just by one spot than me.
Yeah, but below ADP. I think we're both below ADP
on Westberg. He was the fourth second baseman off the board.
Yep. I like Westberg. I don't like the price. I don't like the price, and neither do the projections, both Steamer and some of the ones I'm looking at HQ. So I think Westberg himself is fine. The power skills, I think, look great. The walls coming in at Baltimore, like that's good. Second base, third base certainly helps with that corner middle. What I worry about a little bit is playing time with Jordan Westberg. Like one of the playing time metrics that we have in the baseball forecaster that Ed DeCaria kind of whipped up last year and did some research articles and whatnot is looking at, like, per active week, how often do you play? Jordan Westberg, and I know he missed time with injury last year, but this kind of ignores that. It's just the weeks that you were active. Jordan Westberg was 20th at third base in plate appearances per active week between IKF and Christopher Morel, and started just over 5 games per active week. I wonder if Baltimore kind of, I don't know. I think he sits. I think there's a playing time cap there with Westberg. Like, I don't know if he starts every single game at either second base, third base. You've got Jackson Holliday there. You've got Kobe Mayo there. Like, there's a lot of competition to where if Westberg continues to kind of sit once a week or whatever, I think there's a playing time cap where he can't get to 600. So for that reason and the price, I picked Jordan Westberg in the too early meatball draft in like the 8th round. 99 ADP, I think, is just a little bit too pricey. I certainly get it. I certainly get it. But for me, the playing time cap is something to keep an eye on.
Interesting. I never really thought of it as a playing time situation there with Westberg. But maybe
you think he plays every?
They did it last year, and they had Mayo. They had options there. They even they had Norby, and they treated him like it was Westberg's job till he got hurt.
Kind of. Like I said, Mayo, he was 20th in plate appearances per active week at the position. Like that's not great.
Bottom of the order.
Yeah, that's true. Batting order does play a little bit into that.
Yep. Bottom of the order, and it was more like you played 107 games and got hurt. So I maybe they do, but Mayo hasn't proven himself yet. I'm still not sold on Holliday. We'll get to him at some point, maybe on the show. But at least Westberg showed us something, and I think that'll go for now. Now, if he struggles, all bets are off the table on that one. But if he plays like he did last year, I think it's hard to sit him in those situations. Marcus Semien, a guy I never, ever wanted to draft because his ADP was too high. Things have changed, folks. ADP of 102 right now for Marcus Semien after he only played in 159 games last year. What a bum. That's the lowest amount of games he's played since 2018, not counting COVID 2020. Dude's just a consistent playing time. He's still got over 700 plate appearances, which is insane. But massive batting average dropped to .237 last year, only 8 steals, still 23 homers and 101 runs scored. It was a drop-off, yes, but we all knew it was coming eventually. Still a very productive season, and now you're getting him at 102, Ryan.
Yeah, like, so I think definitely the age-related decline is setting in, but I think given, like, how hard Semien works, how often he plays, like, I think it will be a very gradual decline for Semien. And there is it. Like, I think the market's overreacting to a admittedly down season in 2024. I feel like the market is saying this is the beginning of the end for Marcus Semien, but like, what if it was just a down season? Yep. I mean, he's not like ancient. I mean, he's age 34 season. Like, with you. This is not, this is not Paul Oldschmidt up here at 38, 39 or whatever. And I think Semien, like, there's a very real chance that it was just a bad year, not only for him, but for the Texas lineup in general. And this has been a $30 player each season from 2021 through 23. And I think you're getting a pretty massive discount at 102. Like, I would take Semien over Jordan Westberg.
Yes.
And I don't even think Semien is that far behind Albies or Altuve.
That was my question honest for you.
And he's 40 picks later.
And we both have him ranked right behind those two. So,
right. Like in a vacuum, yeah. I take Albies, Altuve, but I don't think it's a 40 pick picks. Gap difference. Yeah. So I Marcus Semien, I wouldn't be surprised if this ADP sticks. And this is not someone who would typically rise as we get later in the draft season. Fall. Usually it's right. Exactly. Like those veteran hitters are usually the ones that actually fall as pitchers rise, as you know, closer situations get settled. I could see myself having quite a bit of Marcus Semien this year.
Yeah, no, I'm not opposed to it. Like I said, I used to never even consider him, and he's well on my board, like radar now. I still don't think I have any NFBC shares yet. I know I have underdog shares, but I don't think I have NFBC shares yet, but it's not because of lack of trying, let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, this was another, I mean, similar to like Albies was a top 30 pick, top 45 pick last year.
Yeah, at least top three rounds for sure. Yeah.
And so now he's at 100. Like that's a big drop.
Yeah, for sure. All right, the sixth second baseman off the board, and there's a lot going on at this one, is Matt McClain. McClain basically lost season, didn't play in 2024 due to injuries that he suffered in spring training. Did play in the fall league, though. People are happy with that. Also played in the outfield in the fall league. So this is the million-dollar question. They gave him we were in a chat where, remember, he had shortstop only. Then they gave him second base because of discussions. Now he might even play second base this year because the Reds just traded for Gavin Lux, who might play second base, and McClain goes to the outfield. A lot of moving parts here. But for now, for the purpose of the show, in 2025, Matt McClain is second base. Now, the thing that's up for debate for some is projections love him. And this is funny because I think we were doing projections discussion before, so these have been updated since we talked about it. And McClain's projection was almost in line with his 2023 season, like because they didn't know what to do with it. They've adjusted. Batting average is down the projections, but still 24-17 after going 16-14 in 89 games. Like, I love the skill set, Ryan. There are a lot of people concerned the production, but honestly, the power speed combo you get here and Great American Small Park for half your games, I don't hate this at 106.
I would much prefer Marcus Semien going picks earlier than Matt McClain, but that's, I mean, I probably higher, just like we talked about, Semien than most. What I'm most worried about, I think McClain from a skill standpoint is totally fine. Like you said, we saw what he can do. This could be a legit, and probably is a legit 2020, 25-20 bat, especially in that ballpark. I just worry about unlike what we talk about with Albies, with kind of like fluky injuries that are breaks. I'm more worried about it's an oblique for Matt McClain. It's a labrum. It's a rib. Like those have been the serious injuries for him over the last two seasons. And so Steamer's projecting 600 plate appearances for Matt McClain. And I don't know if he gets, I think there's too much injury risk for Matt McClain going at 100. And I don't think the ceiling is high enough for me to gamble on that risk, if that makes sense. So certainly get, like, if Matt McClain comes back, snaps right back to being the 2023 guy that he was and plays a full season and potentially gets second short outfield, like this pick is a smash. So I get it. I need to see Matt McClain make it through a full season before I invest a pick at this price.
Yeah, we have a pretty good gap in our rankings on Matt McClain. I'm definitely more in on him than you. So I kind of want to save it for a debate show, but I want to hit on something you said there just out of curiosity, is you believe he has the ceiling to be 2020. You believe it could be a smash pick. I know you say you need to see it, but if he goes 2020, then he's in the Ozzie Albies, Jose Altuve conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And he still wouldn't want to take a chance on that. That's all I'm saying.
I think that's his true skill level. I just don't know if he gets the plate appearances to get there.
Okay.
I would also add, I would be much more willing to take McClain in a 12 teamer than a 15, where if you lose McClain, then you're kind of screwed. So, I don't know. We differ. That is good. That is fine. I just think, do you think he gets 600 plate appearances? I mean, it's impossible to tell, but
if he's healthy, yes.
I don't think the fall league, I don't know, man. Like, he played like 10 games in the fall league. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, but what I love to see is he's actually playing because the dude's 25.
Yeah.
So just to see him getting reps after his, because 2023 was his first cup of coffee. So he needs those reps. And that's all I wanted to see. In theory, he finished the year healthy, is the way I look at it. And that's a plus.
Fair point. Fair point.
All right.
Would you take Semien or just for listeners, same ADP, Semien or McLean?
If I wanted ceiling, I'd take McLean. And I think I have actually taken a McLean before I became more of a fan of Semien.
Okay.
But I have Semien ranked higher, and I changed. That was in my update. I updated those before I posted them. So I wasn't originally, I think I originally had McLean over Semien at one point.
I think there's also a risk he doesn't snap back to 2023. 2023 was a while ago.
You miss a full season. There's definitely a risk there. 100% risk.
Yeah,
there.
More than a full season. He didn't finish 2023. So
yeah,
I don't know. A little too much risk for my old, you know, I'm getting old, man. I don't like risk in my life.
I know you are getting
young
old.
Bucks coming up.
Crazy. Pretty soon he'll be wearing glasses on this with me. All right. A second baseman that you and I are both very high on, and others are as well, is Luis Garcia Jr. ADP of 115, seventh second baseman off the board right now. Finally got a full season, 140 games. He'll play 122 the year before, but started hitting that groove at his age 24 season, 18 homers, 22 stolen bases, hitting 282. There's been like rumors that like, oh yeah, he's got some power and speed in the minors. It never really showcased because, well, he was young and didn't get a regular run. It's his world now, and we're just living in it. I love this set. I would take him over McLean. If you want to go there, I'll just beat you to that question right now. I'll take him right now over Matt McLean. But I love me some Luis Garcia Jr.
Wait, so you take Garcia over McLean over Semien?
I have Garcia ranked right behind Semien.
Okay.
All right. Like I said, originally I had Semien much lower. I liked Garcia a lot. I think he's got a better floor than most people want to give him credit for, let alone a ceiling we might not even seen yet because he's only 24.
Exactly. Yeah. Next year will be age 25 for Luis Garcia. Has the plate skills, makes the contact, has enough power where I could see 20 home runs from Luis Garcia. I think Steamer's low on the stolen bases. I think he goes more than 16. Yes. Like Luis Garcia was successful, 81% success rate on the bags last year. And we know Washington, I mean, that's green light city, unless you're stuck on the beltway. But like, I think Luis Garcia could approach 30 stolen bases if all breaks well. So like I and the batting average of projection 278, which I like, because I think some of these other second basemen that we're going to talk about next, you can get that kind of speed, but it's going to cost you in power and a little bit more in, or a little bit less in batting average as well. I think Luis Garcia has a whole package. The one, I guess, risk with Luis Garcia is risk of a platoon. Like did not start every game against lefties, but I'm not super concerned about it. Like who else is Washington going to play? And like Washington should see what they have and kind of make Luis Garcia try and learn to hit lefties on the fly. So I really like Luis Garcia, certainly more than Matt McLean.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the Nats offense in general for fantasy, at least the top half of it this year.
Yeah,
really enjoy that. And then to top it off, like I think with Luis Garcia Jr., this is who he could be, like the next Ozzie Albies type in theory. I don't know if he could get to the power level, but just overall like stat line, I think, or even Altuve, if you want to go there, if you want to like lower the power a bit, but more speed and at a good batting average, like I think Luis Garcia is that type of dude. So big fan of what we have there.
Yep. And I think the price is palatable. It's like it's not crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Now we're talking about drop-offs. Bryce Terang coming off a season where he just busted out with 50 stolen bases, 254 average, seven homers, and 155 games for the Milwaukee Brewers. All great stuff there, but all very tough to duplicate, especially 50 stolen bases. But projections like him, they have him hitting 254 again, 10 homers, 35 steals. So more power, fewer stolen bases. Tough projection for me to get behind. Like I like Terang a lot. I liked him a lot as my middle infielder last year, not my starting second baseman.
Yeah, agreed. And I just think this is one of those, like, and I'm not sure defensively how good Terang is, but like I just feel like there is risk that this guy is a rabbit who is not really all that great in real life baseball and thus could lose time. He's already starting to lose time against lefties. I mean, the guy is Like, this is a platoon bat. Terang is has a career 553 OPS against lefties. Like, that is terrible. So you're also getting no power. Like, I think he would be lucky to get 10 home runs. I think this is a single home run guy. I don't believe in the 254 batting average either. So, like, you're kind of banking on, for me, you're banking on Bryce Terang to steal 50 bags again to return value at 138. And I'm not going to bank on that. Like, I'm not going to bank on anyone stealing 50 bags again. So I am out on Terang. I don't think he's that good of a real baseball player. And if the stolen bases go down at all, like, what do you have? And especially at a top 150 pick, I need a little bit more balance where I'm taking him.
Yeah. I like to be wrong. 25 years old, will be 26 this year, but it's like, you look at a barrel rates, 2.9%, 2.4%, our hit rates, 26, 29, like, didn't light the world on fire in those regards, which makes it tricky. And a ground ball rate of 52.5%. So maybe that'll help his batting average. Maybe that's how he sticks to 54. But I don't think the power's ever there. So, like you said, he's probably got to score more than 72 runs. He's got to get closer to 100. And he's got to steal a ton of bases. Like, he's got to get you closer to three categories. And he's more of a 2.5 guy to me. And that's what makes it tricky.
And I should say, real quick, I guess, I should say 254. That's probably a realistic expectation for Terang, because he does hit the ball on the ground and he's that fast. But, like, 254, I mean, that's not. It's not good.
You can actually find that later at second base.
So, like, again, you're just banking on a crap load of bags. And I don't know if it's going to be there. And B, that's not how I like to build teams, is banking on one guy to contribute so much in one category. Because if that falls through from a team build standpoint, you don't have many plan Bs, because you were banking on those in the first place.
Yeah, the phrase is SOL, folks. The ninth second baseman off the board, the old one, coming in at an age 32. Going to be 32 this year. Xander Bogaerts missed a chunk of last year with the injury. Actually came back when most thought he wouldn't come back. So he finished with 11 homers, 13 steals, and .264. I'm kind of calling this season a wash, all things considered, because prior to last year, and even he said he played hurt every year, but .285, .307, .295, .300, .309, .288, pretty good averages. Usually 15 to 23, 24 homers. Handful of bags. Like, you could pencil in Xander's stats. And if you listen to our previous shortstop shows with Xander Bogaerts, I was always out based on ADP, liking 160 a lot more, especially on a still very good San Diego Padres team.
Yep. Same. I mean, I think this is a legit 15-15 guy, like that 15 homers, 15 steals, like that. I mean, that's nothing special, but I think it's pretty bankable, especially when you tack on what I think is going to be a very good batting average yet again for Xander, for kind of those reasons you said. The batting average track record, even though he did only hit .264 last year, like you said, was very good. And despite missing 2 months with the shoulder, like, Bogaerts had 600 plus plate appearances each of the three previous seasons. Like, I do think this is a pretty safe investment and a balanced guy as opposed to Bryce Terang. So I've got Bogaerts ahead of Terang straight up, and he's going, what, 20-25 picks later. So and second base, shortstop does help in terms of position eligibility. Like, it's not like a Westberg where you get corner middle, but it does help a little bit in terms of flexibility. So it's just another little feather in old Xander's cap.
All right, a moment that I never thought we'd see on this show, a man that was once that was once a sleeper draft pick that became the mascot of this wonderful show, turned into a wake one episode when he lost his season. Somehow Luis Rengifo, and I am fully on board with this, by the way, but just amazing push from the man, is the 10th second baseman off the board. He has reached the top 10, folks. Absolutely glorious to see, with an ADP of 165. And people laugh, and I get it, because it is silly, but dude had 24 steals, 6 homers in 78 games while hitting .300. He was leading American League in batting average before he got hurt. Like, he was playing that well. Previous 2 years, he had more power, less speed. So that's the conundrum. Everyone that's asked me about Rengifo, because apparently that's us, they ask one of us about Luis Rengifo now. It's, does he hit for more power? Does he steal bases? Does he do both? Who knows? Well, projections have him doing both, hitting .263 with 18 homers and 23 steals. And my God, if he hits .263 with 18 homers and 23 steals, I will be over the moon with Luis Rengifo and his multi-position eligibility at second base and third base.
Yeah, I like to say we knew him. We knew him when, right? Yep. Before he was famous.
Before he got famous. Yep.
I feel like Ringifo's famous now. I mean, we had this discussion in the Discord where it's like, I hate to like, I don't want to slander the mascot. I think he's still good. I have him 10th, exactly 10th in my rankings.
I have him 8th, you have him 10th. So yeah, we're still on.
We're still on him, but like, so is the market. And I think that's, I don't want to say the problem. It's just the prime. I mean, you could get Ringifo, and that's why he was the mascot, because we talked about him every episode, because he was eligible, I think, at 4 different spots last year. This year, it's only 2. That's kind of the conundrum, is like, now you have to pay up for him, and I don't think he hits 300 again. Can the stolen base pace really hold up, that, you know, from what we saw from Ringifo last year, even though it was just kind of that half season, to get 24 bags and 300 plate appearances like that? I mean, that is a race to rank pace with batting average. Does that hold again? I don't know. I mean, I can't say it will, when I just said Bryce Terang, I can't bank on 50 stolen bases from him. And then I honestly think the home run projection for Ringifo is a little bit rosy at 18 homers. Like, this is someone, it might have been injury related, because it was wrist issues, which can sap power, but the power skills really fell off a map for Ringifo last year. So, I mean, that all said, you can kind of, if all goes right for Luis Ringifo, you could get the batting average, the stolen bases, because that's what he did last year. And Ron Washington, once he decided to play Luis Ringifo, not only did he play, but he ran crazy. But if that, if you believe the wrist was kind of the reason for the downfall in power in 2024, and Ringifo goes back to 22, 23 ways, like, this could be
monster,
a freaking breakout. Yeah, yes. Like a monster. I guess last year was a half breakout. You could see even more. So I don't know. I'm kind of talking out of both ends here. It's just Luis Ringifo is a very tough one for me to crack. I think he's properly priced, because I like him a lot, but the market does too. And that's somewhat of the issue I have with him.
Yeah, I'll still find my way to a few shares, but not nearly every share like I did last year. If you look at the Steamer rankings for second base, he's 18th based on projections. He missed a lot of time last year, but on the player radar, Fangraphs, finished 23rd at the position, which all things considered is probably not bad, only playing like half a season. But it's tricky. Like, I like the guy a lot. I'll have some shares, but I'm with you. He's got to get things fixed in a big way. He's got to hit for power and speed to be worth this. That's for sure.
Agreed.
All right. ADPs 11 through 20. We have Andrés Giménez, Bryson Stott, Luis Arraez, Nico Hoerner, Mikel Garcia. That's 11 through 15, 16 through 20, Zach Geloff, Gleyber Torres, Jackson Holliday, Brendan Donovan, and Colt Keith. This is where we each pick two players in this pocket to discuss. Ryan, you have the floor first. Who would you like to discuss?
I'm going to cheat a little bit. I think cheating is taking the number 11 second baseman when you have to pick between 11 through 20, but I'm going to go Andrés Giménez. I think with the acquisition and the move to Toronto, I think this is someone who's going to play every day. The glove is so good that despite Andrés Giménez's issues against lefties, and there are issues there, the defense is so good that Giménez is going to play every day, I feel, in Toronto. This is someone with back-to-back 200, 250 batting average, 30 stolen base seasons, and I think that has a ton of value, even though you may only get 10, 15 home runs. It's not a zero there, but the power is a little bit worrisome. But I think Andrés Giménez, in terms of where he's going, 174 is pretty damn good, and I think better than some of the other guys going after him. I think this is one of those kind of mini cliffs at the position where after Andrés Giménez, there are a lot of question marks. Those guys you just rattled off, that even though they may provide speed like Nico Hoerner, Mikel Garcia, I think there are some issues there. I don't think there's much risk. I think there's a pretty high floor with Andrés Giménez, both from a playing time standpoint and from a batting average and stolen base standpoint as well. And heck, maybe the power does just bounce back to 22, 23 levels, and then you get that 15, 20. But I like Andrés Giménez quite a bit where he's going.
Yep, I like Giménez as well. Our buddy Joe Rico on my Jays preview on Bench with Bubba not a fan, but he's not a fan of most things Blue Jays right now.
Hey, man, he's just a little grumpy. He's just a little grumpy north of the border. He'll turn it around.
Don't Pretty worry. Soon he'll be fist pumping and having a good old time out there. But yeah, it's going to be interesting because he plays every day, like you mentioned. So I am a fan of Jimenez. But something you said there is kind of what we talked about at the beginning of the show. This is a cliff. Like, I'll give you Jimenez, and some can give you Stott. That's to be determined. But once you start coming farther and farther down after Rengifo, instead of getting 4 to 5 category guys, it's a lot more 2s and 3s. And so they're not filling out a lot of needs. They're filling out some, and some they're filling out very well, but they're definitely not helping you in other categories. They might be hurting you in some. That's just where the second base position gets dicey. And I come in as I love as a middle infielder if you have to, last second baseman. But I'm with you. I am a fan of his if you have to go there.
No, man, right, I think I'm fine taking him. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine taking him one.
I'm just saying I'm fine waiting. It's because you've got especially in 15 team leagues, you have to wait to take someone to start. Yeah. So I'm totally fine taking him in as my starting second baseman because I know I want to prioritize other positions. So I will have a ton of Jimenez this year.
Sounds good. My first one in this pocket is the 20th second baseman off the board, ADP 246. That's Colt Keith, and I've gotten a lot of back and forth on this one with different people. Some are like, he's going to be moved to first base, so pretty soon you're going to get first base, second base. That's a plus with the acquisition of Gleyber Torres. But we saw 13 home runs last year, 7 steals, hit 260 in 148 games with the Tigers. I was pretty pumped on that one. In 2023, he hit 27 homers and 3 steals in the minor leagues for the Tigers. It's nice now that Fangraphs combines all the levels into one MILB stat line. That is a plus while hitting 306. So there's a lot more power than the 13 homers. The ballpark's not going to help. So if people can use that argument right away, I get it. I'm not saying he's 27 homers. Could he creep to 18 to 20? Maybe. We'll see. But I think a full season in this lineup could be good. Again, 23 years old. Got some more there. And we're talking pick 246 as a middle infield option, not your starting second baseman. But like the projection of 5 steals, he stole 7 last year. I don't see why he won't. This is a young team that is aggressive on the base paths. So like this is a team that give me 18 and 10 while hitting 260 and, you know, maybe 75-75. I'll take that as my middle infielder at 246. So I'm a Colt Keith fan. I think it's a pretty good floor with ceiling that he has not tapped into just yet.
Okay, because I think that's your argument, right? That's your closing line, I think, is your main argument, because...
Oh, I'm taking a guy. There's two guys going after him I would take over him, but that's not our pockets we're talking about. Like I prefer more 21 and beyond than a lot of the guys in this pocket.
Okay, basically. Same, because I texted you
while I was putting my names going, I hate this pocket. Like, I don't want to talk about most of these guys, but here we are.
Well, we don't need to. Like, we could plead the fifth because this is brutal. Like I don't even think Colt Keith, like you're banking on, I mean, what you just said, you're banking on year two growth from Colt Keith, which could very well happen. I maybe is more likely than some others, given how he improved in the second half and how bad things were when Colt Keith started. But like, I don't think the projections are that far off in terms of like what we should expect. And it's just, it's not pretty from Colt Keith, and the ballpark, like you said, isn't great either. So I just think Colt Keith, like, he's fine, but it's just more an indictment of like, this is a rough spot at second base where like he's next to Brendan Donovan. He's next to Jackson Holliday, Gleyber Torres. I don't know how many home runs Gleyber Torres hits in Detroit. Like,
it's not good.
Like this is rough. This is rough.
Yeah. That's why the ADP is interesting. Again, I'll mention it when we talk beyond here, but you have one more, which is just makes me laugh so hard that you put this guy on the list. Maybe it's an indictment. You know my feelings on this player. Like, I want nothing to do with him in fantasy, but who's your second option in this group?
You don't like? Never mind. Okay. I am reading ahead. This is almost a pass.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This shows you why, because Ryan's not even really.
I don't even like Luis Urias. Yeah. I don't even like the guy, yet I pick him. He's going
not personally as a fantasy asset.
Definitely. I'm sure he's a cool dude. Whatever. Luis Urias, I've mentioned this on previous shows, I forget when. So I won't belabor the point, but from a pure projection standpoint, Luis Urias pops. He absolutely pops. Because the batting average is so damn good and the and all that, but it's just so hard to take someone who may not get double digit homers or steals, and you need to plan around it. I talked about the idea of doing a league where I take like a Schwarber, an Ellie De La Cruz or something, and then go with Arias just to see what happens. But no, I don't even like Luis Arias. I don't know why I put him on the freaking sheet. Cause like, again, after Jimenez, it's Stott, Arias, Horner, Mikel Garcia. Like it's really bad, man. I'm saying Luis Arias, but I'm not drafting him. So why am I even saying Luis Arias?
Well, I changed mine when you started talking about Andrés Jimenez. What? I originally had Mikel Garcia, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm going to make an argument for Zach Geloff.
All right, curveball here. Speaking of things he can't hit, curveball.
Tell me, Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball? Geloff, even in a down year, he hits .211. Atrocious, I know. 17 homers, 25 steals. Good. And I know what the answer is going to be to all these questions. Surrounding supporting cast will limit his overall runs and RBIs. Yes, that was the line you guys gave me all last year. You weren't wrong. 60 runs scored, 49 RBIs. The RBIs is because he's actually down towards the bottom of the order, deservedly so. He still scored 60 runs because that offense is better than expected. Strikeout rate went up, not great. All these things, not good. I get it. But if we're making an argument for this range, again, a range we do not like, I have no problem with Zach Geloff if you plan accordingly. Because I think the projections of 20 home runs and 23 steals and a .223 average is pretty legit, actually. You can get a 2020 type player this far down, which you can't get pretty much anywhere else in this region, barring the miraculous season. And again, 25 years old, new ballpark. I think we can all agree that team's much better, especially what we saw in the second half. So offensively, the counting stats should get a little better. Not great by any means, so he'll probably still be at the bottom of the order, and he strikes out a lot, so he's got to get on base to score runs, et cetera, et cetera. I get all these things. But if we're talking about a power speed source later in the draft, that what if he goes Shea Langeliers and hits .240 out of nowhere? Like, we're talking, I'm not telling he's going to reinvent the wheel at batting average, but if he can go from .220 to .240, that's due to .211 to .240, like, it's a long shot. It's a long shot. I get it. But what I'm trying to explain, this is a legit 2020 guy. I don't think we can take that away from him. We can take a lot of the other stuff away, but when we're talking about how ugly this area is, not a lot of five category guys, more like two and three categories. He's at least really contributing to at least two categories in a big, big way. And he's coming in at an ADP of 218. So I'll take my chances there.
Do you think there's risk that Geloff is out of a job? I mean, he had a 270 OBP last year. Like, that is,
it's atrocious.
That is atrocious.
But I don't think it is, because it's the Oakland Athletics. And as a writer for PT Tomorrow, with the Oakland A's, their farm system is not ideal. Like, you're not bringing Max Schumann up to play second base. They really don't have a ton of options at the moment. They'd have to go acquire someone, which they've been doing. Not going to say they're not going to, but this is like, you're not going to, there's Darnays, there's Jordan Diaz, who we saw at times last year. I don't see it happening. Now, if they do, whatever, but I don't think they're done with Geloff yet. That power and speed, they don't have a lot of power and speed on that team.
And so why the pivot off of Mikel Garcia?
Mikel Garcia is simply a steals and runs guy. I'd rather go for the power speed upside, because at least the power can give you runs and RBIs. That's why the more we started talking, I pivoted. I still don't mind Mikel Garcia, but it's a lot to like your Bryce Terang conversation. Very similar skill sets. Very, very similar. Terang should lead off, where Garcia is probably hitting ninth. That's a big buzzkill as well. Yep. So there's your big, I don't know if that's worth almost a 80 pick difference in ADP between the two, but that's basically the skill set you're looking for with Mikel Garcia's Bryce Terang, and we just poo-pooed all over that.
Right. And I can't make the argument that Geloff could be out of a job with his 270 OBP when Mikel Garcia had a 280 OBP. Like, yeah, Mikel Garcia again is another like really terrible real life player who I think was fortunate to lead off for some of last season, and that will not happen with Jonathan India, maybe unless India gets hurt again. So I get it. That's why I want Andrés Jimenez, though.
No,
because we're like 50 picks earlier, yeah, you're paying that price, but like, Jimenez is actually good at baseball and is very safe from a playing time standpoint, even though the projections for Jimenez and Mikel Garcia are very similar, and Nico Horner for that matter, who, I mean, we haven't talked about him, but like, there are
injury concerns,
major injury concerns with Nico Horner going here. There's Bryson Stott. We had a listener question on him, so maybe we'll talk about that at the end. But like, I worry about playing time and lefties with Bryson Stott. There's Gleyber Torres, who we just talked about. There's Jackson Holliday, who did nothing.
I don't even know what to do with him.
So it's just, again, this 16, 17 through 20 tier or 25 tier for second base is just, it's brutal, man.
It's rough. It's very rough. But let's get 21 and beyond, where I like some of these early ones, and then we'll take some real darts later. But I'm not going to read off all the players because we actually stuck within 21 to 30. So you got Willie Castro, Jonathan India, Brandon Lau, Christopher Morel, Christian Campbell, Jose Caballero, Jake Cronenworth, Spencer Horwitz, Otto Lopez, Tyro Estrada. I'd probably take 6 or 7 of these guys over most of that middle range, but especially if you factor in price. Who's the first one you'd like to discuss in this range?
I'm going the Otto man. Going Otto Lopez, who, is 29th in ADP right now, 318 ADP. I think the projections are underselling Otto Lopez's playing time. I think he has a firm gig in Miami with not very much competition at all. So I think the playing time will be, I don't know where he kind of hits in the order, but the contact skills look really good for Otto Lopez. He ran wild with Miami in the second half. There's, you know, risk of single digit home runs, right? Like, given as however many ground balls, given the amount of ground balls that Otto Lopez hits. But like, show me the difference between Otto Lopez and I guess I won't go there.
Luis Arraez.
Luis Arraez has a ton of batting average upside over Otto. I don't know. I just think Otto Lopez at 300, like, he's a fine middle infielder going super cheap. And I think the playing time projections are low on him. I think he plays, and I think he's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I agree on the playing time projections being pretty low. And there was more power in that bat than I expected. Actually, more power in that bat than Xavier Edwards' bat, let's put it that way. It's very interesting as well. For me, Jonathan India, the new Kansas City Royal, ADP of 249. It's not it's a boring profile, but it's 15 plus homers. You know, he's got 13 or more steals, or 12 or more steals in 3 out of 4 seasons. So you're a 15-10 guy at worst, I think. But his OBP skills are great, and he'll hit you 250 to 260. His OBP skills are great. Leading off for a Royals team I like a lot, with Bobby Witt and company there. Like, 100 runs scored, very much in play. Every reason we liked Mikel Garcia last year, you should like India more, because he actually has more power, in my opinion. So, not a lot more, but he has more than Mikel Garcia. So, yeah, I think Jonathan India, if you somehow miss on second base, I will take him as a starting second baseman. I prefer a middle infielder with him. But I don't see, like, a massive difference between, like, an India and – I guess the biggest difference between India and a Jimenez and a Stott is a stolen bases. I'll be honest there. They'll steal more than him. Other than that, the other four categories, India is equal or better than, in my opinion, than those two guys. So I like Jonathan India a lot. Maybe I'm just over it. I've always been a big India guy, so maybe I'm just hyped up for it again. But I love the ADP at 249.
Agreed. And I think if you lead off ahead of Bobby Witt and – Salvi, like, I think you're going to get a ton of runs scored. And yeah, certainly in OBP leagues, Jonathan India is like that batting average that is red on our little sheet here, that turns green in OBP leagues, because India is so good. Dude. Yeah. I mean, he is a walk machine, and that's why he will be leading off for the Royals. So, I like it. I like it. Like, is there that much difference between India and Xander Bogaerts?
No.
For example, like, batting average, but in terms of home runs and stolen bases, and I would even argue India gets more plate appearances and scored more runs. Exactly. Well, so
that's an even better comp than my making fun of him and his dad, because it's even higher up the board. That's almost 80, almost 90 picks. So, yeah. Agreed.
I think I will also go back to my Otto man comp of Nico Hoerner. Much difference between Nico and Otto Lopez? Like, Nico has the stolen base ceiling. I get it. Yeah. But at a 100-plus pick discount with the injury concerns that Nico has entering the season, I would take Nico straight up, but not at the price.
Yep. I don't disagree with that at all. Yeah. All right. I really like the one you picked here. The more I've done research for this season, I have become more and more interested in here, so I'm ready to get destroyed. But this is a potential mascot.
Dude, you took the words out of my mouth.
Oh, sorry,
you
know? Sorry.
This has the makings of a potential mascot. Someone who is very cheap. This is a 250 ADP for we'll call him Slick Willie Castro. We've always called him that. He's second base, third base, shortstop, and outfield eligible, which is awesome. And might lead off for the Twins, which is insane. Super awesome. And I think is like he's not, there's not a similar to what I said about who'd I say there's no true plus skill, Ozzie Albies.
Yeah.
Like there's no true plus skill with Willie Castro. We're not getting the 30 plus stolen bases that we saw from him in 2023 again, in my opinion. But I think this is someone who could go 10, 15 home runs, 20 plus steals, decent batting average, and just compile and do so at four different positions. So I really like Willie Castro. And he will be entering mascot territory because he will come up on our shortstop episode, third base episode, and outfield episode. So that sounds awfully familiar to
you. Know, I'm okay with announcing him as the mascot now, if you're okay with it, because doing research, there's no one else that fits the eligibility he does and the ADP. I'm just going to say it.
You ready?
Yeah. 2025 mascot right there.
Willie Castro.
Slick Willie Castro.
Slick Willie. All right. We're doing it.
Yeah, if we have to do a post-mortem mascot for him, I'm in trouble. But like I said, the more like when you were off in Arizona, I was doing a bunch of little things, working on stuff. And the more I looked at rankings and did things, I'm like, man, if he could just stick in that top spot. Like, a lot of the conversations with if there's a lot to like there. A lot to like there.
So you're feeling good about that mascot call.
I think Rengifo's better than him, but literally there's not that many multi-position guys anymore. Like I'm not taking Jose Caballero. I'm not taking Dylan Moore.
Right?
This is the dude.
this is the dude. Like you can see me on, I'm stressed out right now because there is there's a lot of weight to this moment.
Yeah, we can wait, but I'm putting my vote there. We can wait on your vote if you'd like. We could be like California and take 2 months to count it, but I'm ready.
Let's do it. Let's do it. We have just crowned our 2025 mascot.
Beautiful. Right. Beautiful. I can't wait to hear the responses on this one. Slick Willie coming soon.
All right. Good.
All right. Good. Last guy that was Slick Willie. Enjoyed the Oval Office. So there we go, folks.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. The guy I haven't mentioned as we pivot quickly is Tyro Estrada. I wrote down on the paper, I'll take Willie or Tyro, whichever one you don't want. So my thoughts were with Willie on this one, but Tyro Estrada, ADP of 346. He's creeped into the top 30 since he signed with the Colorado Rockies. This is more just a pure upside play. Like if I gave you the whole shtick on Zach Gelof, here you are with Tyro. Just a horrible, horrible season last year. Finished in the minors for the Giants, got DFA, just a whole disaster. Prior to that though, 271 average, 260, 273, three really good seasons. Back-to-back 14-21, 14-23 years. I think the skill set's still there. He's 29 years old. Hopefully, the only concern I'm still scared of is the Rockies going full Rockies and not playing them all the time. That would be my scare. But they signed him so cheap. You give him run, and you can drop him, whatever. I think he gets to start the season, and if he produces, he's way better than a 346 ADP. Like, if you look at the guys going in front of him, he destroys a lot of them. Like, he is Bryson Stott and Andrés Giménez if he produces well. So I am a big fan of Tyro Estrada, and I'm just hoping it was a one-year slump and a new change of environment, not to mention his average could get better. As the old story says, Babbitt plays in Coors Field.
Yep, this is exactly the type of gamble I think you want to do outside the top 300. I guess it's a double-edged sword, the Colorado thing, right? Because, it's great, obviously, for him, but now the price gets a little bit cheap, a little bit more expensive, But
Keeps going up. It keeps going up, folks.
Yeah, I know, but as it should, but we know Rocky's going to Rocky. We think he has a job. The park should be great. So I echo everything you said about our guy that we got burned on last year, but we both have forgiving hearts. So
somehow on this show, I talked about Gelof and Estrada on the same show. That's pretty impressive. Dude, that's pretty sad, but impressive.
It served you well last year. I know that.
It served me and all the listeners so well. All right, final thoughts on the position. Anything changed since we talked at the beginning?
No, not really. I think you definitely, I think Andrés Giménez is your cliff. I think you need to try and get a second baseman before Andrés at 175. I'm fine. There's plenty of options there. You go Bogarts, Rengifo, Giménez. You can wait until the top 150 to do that. Because I like the top of other positions more, I'm probably not going a Ketel Marte, Albies, Altuve, but I'm fine with like a Semien or Garcia around 100. So I'm probably getting my second baseman between 100 and 170 this season, and probably not too much before or after that, even though I will take a shot on some of these later guys that we talked about. Tyro, Otto Man, Slick Willie, but not country music star Cole Keith. I'm not doing him, but yeah, there's a few late options at second base.
There's a few, and it's just, I pretty much echo everything you said. I'd be aggressive. You don't have to be extremely aggressive if you don't want to, but I'd pepper that mid-range. Like, I've tried to leave with Luis Garcia and as many as I can. That's just been one of my things, but I want one of those top 11 guys for sure. And then the other guys could be more in middle. Like I said, I'd be okay with an India. I'd be okay with the mask, that 2025 mascot, Slick Willie. But that'd be more of a middle infield player. Slick Willie could, you know, be an everywhere play. So that's the beauty of the mascot. Yep. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. All right, a couple listener questions here from the old Discord as I pull them up here. I'll kick it off with our buddy Aaron Gifts in the chat. Says, Bloom had Andres Jimenez higher than Bubba, so interested to hear their rationale there. I also don't see much of a difference between Jimenez and Stott. Both of you have Stott lower, so curious about that. I think he kind of hit on it, and I agree with you on Jimenez. I just had him ranked differently. Let me see where I had the other guys ranked. I had Jimenez 10th. You had him 5th.
Yeah. God, I had him 5th.
5th seems aggressive. I know you did these. It does. Jesus. You did these. You did those early, though. I know we've already said we want to adjust some of these. So those have been out for a little while.
Holy hell. Yeah, I did. Yeah,
5th is aggressive. 10th, I'm almost in par with the ADP. But you like Jimenez, so you don't have to look red.
I do. No, I wouldn't even move it that much. Like I'd probably move him 6th or 7th. Like I like Luis Garcia more, I think, after That's talking fair. Through it. I've got him 6th. I'd probably move him up to 5th, but I'll stand behind that.
Okay. Fair enough. His other question here is, and the Stott thing, it's mainly playing time, I think, for both of us is my concern there, but anything else?
So, I mean, I pointed out the fact that Andres Jimenez has two straight 250 batting average, 30 plus steal seasons. And so does Bryson Stott. So I can't do that. And similar type power. It's just, I think the playing time floor for Jimenez is much higher than Stott. Like I think Stott might be a platoon bat already, like was pretty bad against lefties last season and started to sit quite a bit against them. So that's really the reason for Jimenez over Stott for me is the floor and the playing time floor.
Yep, well, that's fair with me. Ben Bingham says, can you please not talk about Otto Lopez or Tyro Estrada? Thanks. Oops.
Damn.
And Aaron Gift said same thing about Otto. So, yeah, sorry about that, boys. Even TDK has a comment about there are a bunch of Otto fans in the chat, apparently. GP Churchill says, this season there are several young second base options post round 30. In 15-team BCs, that roster resource has either starting in Brito, Bliss, or Durbin, or part of a platoon in Sejasi, or on the cusp, more Martinez from Toronto, Bazania, Amador. So a lot of young players. Are you reaching for any of these hitters in your DCs or targeting any of them at their ADP in your Fab Leagues? Are you targeting any of those in your DCs?
I am targeting Sejasi. Yes. I like Sejasi. I hearken back to your episode on Bench with Bubba with Chris Clegg, who knows his stuff and seemed pretty convinced that Sejasi is the opening day starter, at least somewhere in St. Louis. So I think Sejasi, he took his lumps a little bit when he was called up, but decent numbers as a prospect. And I think you're hedging that he has a job to start the season. There's some competition there, but I like Sejasi. I would also throw out Aurelvis Martinez, Nick York as later guys as well. Nick Gonzalez is going later. I kind of like those guys too.
I almost picked Gonzalez for to the show today. Like I am a fan there, but I just took Martinez in the DC I'm in right now. Just took him actually. Aurelvis Martinez of the Jays. Yep. I love Sejasi for everything you mentioned. It really opened my eyes to the playing time discussion there. I'm not opposed to like Durbin. I just don't know when he fits in, but I think he'll get his run. And Almador, I have some shares. Like I said, I am scared the Rockies could rock you, but it better be Tyro's gig for now. Would you take any of these players in a fab league in rounds 24 through 30?
I would not take Gonzalez. I'd go for the higher ceiling. So I'd go maybe a late stab at Aurelvis Martinez. And if he doesn't start with the Jays, you just cut him and move on. I would also probably take a stab at Sejasi in a fab league again, just because I think the ceiling is high enough to warrant it. But I think you're like, your Nick Gonzalez type is more useful in a draft and hold, where I think the playing time is safer than the ceiling is high, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense to me, actually. So I'm with you on that. Conversely, he says this season there appears to be relative dearth of good late options at corner infield. Does this factor into your early round decisions? Are you more likely to target premium corner bats, or are you comfortable with later round picks like Soderstrom, Aranda? We'll get to your first base, Cliff. But are you trying to target elite corner or elite second baseman?
Typically more elite corner, because there are more options at the top. And second base, there's just not. So it is super valuable too. I mean, I like where GP Churchill's going with this in terms of looking at the back of the draft and using that to plan what you do early in the draft. But yeah, I'd be more willing to go early corner than I would in middle, at least second base.
Yep, I'm with you there. I like corner much more in that regard. That'll do it. That is the last listener question, my friend. So any final thoughts before we head out on another wonderful episode and head into the weekend?
No, man. I mean, pretty proud that we crowned a mascot here on January 9th of all days.
Pretty big show. Pretty big show.
I've had 5 minutes to stew on it a little bit.
You still okay with it?
Feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good.
Like I said, the more you look through the player pool, aren't a lot of options that actually qualify. Like, we might have to have new stipulations in the future. I think this is very willing, deserving. I'm not saying we stretched on this one, but the qualifications are going to be harder and harder to come by, it feels like, these days.
That the issue that, I don't know, maybe not the issue, Slick Willie kind of already has had that mini breakout where Rengifo last year didn't.
True.
But we're kind of hoping.
Semantics, okay.
But that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. We it's our show. We make the rules.
We do whatever we want up around here, and if you don't like it, subscribe, download, rate, and review. We appreciate it.
Maybe we don't want that.
Yeah. All right. We'll wrap it up there. Remember,
we abandoned our listenership.
If you want to be on the listener leagues, you got to join the Patreon, paid or free. Come check it out. But until next time, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ. I'm on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 203. Catch you all next time. Thank you.